We are on Perek Lamed Aleph. We hopefully will finish today. It's a relatively short Perek, but there's a very important concept which is found in the middle of this Perek, which we're going to discuss. I actually made a couple extra sheets because of the different commentaries on a particular subject which we'll encounter. But nonetheless, before we get to that, let's at least begin page 192, Perek Lamed Aleph. The pasuk begins, the parak begins, Upalishtim nilchamim b'Yisrael. So the Pelishtim were about to wage war against the Jewish people, and as we see in Rashi over here, the only Rashi on this page, it says, Ka'adam ha'omer nechzer l'inyan rishon, just like a person says, let's go back to our original thought. Because Perek Lamed did not discuss this war, in fact, the previous Perek, for those that recall, was discussing when David and his group came back and his war attack against Amalek, when they kidnapped his wife and other people's wives and children. So that's what the Perek before spoke about. So here we're going back to the previous chapters of the war, which is how the Sefer will end. Bianusu Anshe Yisrael, continuing in Pasuk Aleph, Bianusu Anshe Yisrael Mipnei Plishtim, the Jewish people fled from before the Plishtim, which means they're about to lose, the Yibul Chalolim Bahar HaGilboa. And after they fled, immediately thereafterwards, many people fell and died in this particular place, Mount Gilboa. And if we look in English on page 193, we find that it tells us, based on the statement in the tractate Sota, Techilas Nefila Nisa, brought down by the Abarbanel, the beginning of downfall is flight. That the moment that we ran away, that's the time in which we were easily defeated. As long as we were able to stay together, strong as one, then we potentially could have been victorious. And I also underline the paragraph immediately above it on page 183 that says, although Shaul knew that he would die in the battlefield, he bravely went to defend his people against the Philistines. Not only that, this great man faced his death with a sense of responsibility to bring credit to God and Israel. We're going to see the very courageous way in which he faces death. Pasuk Bet. So, almost everyone ran away, but the greatness of Shaul, knowing that he was going to die, and knowing after seeing so many people run away, he stayed on the battlefield. He and his children. Pasuk Bet Vayadbeku Plishtim, and the Plishtim, as is translated in the Masudas Sion, Hasigum, overtook him or grabbed hold of him. We're very close to as Shaul Vesbanov, to Shaul as well as Shaul's three children, as we'll see. V'yakob plishtim es Yehonasan, des Avinadav, v'es Malkishua, b'nei Shaul. These three sons, and the most colorful of the three personalities certainly is Yehonasan. Those three children of Shaul died on the battlefield. We look at the Radak on this Pasuk. Why three? Did he only have three children? Actually, he had more than three children. Our doc tells us, the three children, all three of the children that went out to war, died. That's how they died. However, Ish-Boshes, Shaul had another son by the name of Ish-Boshes, who we'll see later on has a relationship with the next king, with David. We'll see exactly what that relationship was. But why wasn't Ish-Boshes there? So the Radak says, Nishar b'bayis, he stayed at home. Kilu ha-yotzim b'mucham, he didn't go out to war, which perhaps means that he was weak, or possibly he was even on the battlefield, as it says in the English on page 193, that he was on the battlefield, but unlike his other three brothers, Ish-Boshes ran away. He fled, which is interesting. His name is a man of busha. He's embarrassed. It's not a good thing, right? He was a coward. He was someone who's, which is Ish-Boshes, which is exactly what his name represents, a person of busha, a person of shame, embarrassment, someone who is not willing to step up when he's supposed to step up.
Why would
you
give him such a terrible name?
What was
it?
I don't know. Some type of a prophecy.
We learned somewhere that a lot of times these names were not their given names.
Right.
Because
that's what they represent with based on their life. That's true. Yeah, the Talmud, when we discuss Ishbosheth in greater detail, we're going to see that he, in fact, does have other names as well, such as Mephibosheth. Some people call him Mephibosheth, not Ishbosheth, but Mephibosheth is really his more famous name, his less famous name, but the name which he was really given. But then because of things that he did wrong, which may include this, Ishbosheth. We changed his name a little bit, plain words. So either way, a lot of people unfortunately passed away on the battlefield. Many of them ran away. And it's apparently, it says in the English as well, another person who ran away was Abner, who was Shaul's general, which you would think the general would not desert his army, and even more importantly, the king himself. But Abner ben Ner did exactly that, apparently, even though it's not brought down in the Psukim, but it doesn't. It mentions the death of the most powerful people. Certainly Abner would have been included in that list had he died in this war. And therefore, it must be understood he was certainly on the battlefield. So what happened to him? He probably ran away. That's how it's understood. Plus a gimel. V'tichbad ha-milchama el Shaul. So Shaul knew, or he was aware somehow, that his three sons died, and he sees all of his huge army disappearing before his eyes. They run away. And here he is waiting on the battlefield, knowing it's about time to die.
Why does it say El Shaul, not Al Shaul?
El means what? Two Shaul?
Well, it wasn't heavy.
I'm not sure. V'tichbad ha-milchama al Shaul. How would that? What would be the other translation? How's it translated over here?
Against.
El Shaul is translated as against. Perhaps for that reason, as opposed to two. V'im sa'uhu ha-morim anashim bakeshas. And as the war was getting more and more intense, then all of a sudden the Morim, which as Masuda Sion translates as Zarkim Bechitzim, those who shoot arrows, were coming after him. Anashim Bekeshes, people with bows, people with professional archers, ready to shoot a bunch of arrows into their enemy, Shaul. V'yochel ma'od meha Morim. And Shaul was V'yochel, Masuda Sion says, Pacha. He was very much afraid. He was very worried about these people. Now the question is, what was the significance of why they're all ganging up on Shaul of all people? So the Masudas David over here tells us, Masudas David says, Kibun of Kvar Hargu. What do you mean? His sons are dead already. So obviously they're not going to try to kill his sons. He can't kill someone twice. Bahaisa kol pnei milchama olav levad. And therefore, basically, the entire other side of the army only had one intention, to kill their enemy, and that one person by the name of Shaul. And in fact, in one of the more famous wars, which is studied in colleges, believe it or not, even in business and marketing, is the famous war between Alexander and Darius. Even though Alexander was highly outnumbered by a much larger army, but he taught the most powerful people in on his side two words, kill Darius, kill Darius. That's what he made sure everyone knew. That didn't make a difference, all the little people and all the so many people that are against us, the numbers were so outnumbered. All we have to do is kill one person. We can somehow kill the leader, then there'll be no more power, no one will know what to do, and then we'll be able to win the war, which is exactly what happened. And again, that's studied for not just military, but also when it comes to marketing and things of that nature as well. But that may be what happened here with Shaul.
He's not afraid of death, he's afraid of being tortured.
Right, we're going to see... Right, we'll discuss about his suicide and things of that nature, but it's actually brought down the Mishnah Tzot Zahav, not the page yet that you have, but it says that there's some people that hold, not that, according to one interpretation, that he was not hurt at all yet. Like if we look, for example, at the Radak, okay? If we look at the Radak, which is the last line over here on this page, the Radak says, why was he afraid? V'yachel, ki lo hi kahu adayin. He was not hit yet, abapachanuhem. All he had was fear, which means the Radak is reading this pasuk as he had fear. He did not have pain. Otherwise, I would have said he was in pain. Obviously, he was not hurt. No one actually shot any arrows at him. They didn't actually enter him. However, the Mishnah Tzot Zahav says absolutely not. In fact, what really happened was he was hit with a bunch of arrows, and he was considered to be under in the category of a gosei spidish bidei adam, which means if you would have left Shaul, just left him right on the battlefield, he naturally would have died. It would have taken maybe more time for him to die, but he's considered a goses bidei adam. And according to this, we're talking about suicide, which we're going to get into great detail about this, great length. When it comes to, according to some afarshim, the only time it's a prohibition, there is a prohibition of suicide, as we're going to discuss. But over here, the issue was not killing someone who was going to live. He was already going to die. But still, a person is not allowed to do this, because he's considered to be a ghost. He's not a ghost, as Bidi Shemayim, because Hashem, the heavens, do not consider this person to be dead. He's alive, and you're not allowed to take that person's life. However, he is going to rationalize that the only reason why he cannot take his life is because it's Bidi Shemayim, but if for some reason he has, it would cause a Chil Hashem by him remaining alive and being tortured, and as we're going to see, being humiliated, and therefore by belittling the king, it would also show a lack of honor to God. Therefore, he felt at this point it's no longer an issue. He's allowed to have his life taken from him. But that's how some interpret, because if he was completely healthy, then he would not be allowed to give the instructions, as we'll see in a second. That's correct. That's correct. I mean, that's why the person struggle at this point if he was injured or not. So certainly both interpretations have tremendous merit. Pasuk Dalet. But Yomer Shaul Lanosi Caleb. So Shaul, realizing that his time was coming, he turned to his Nosi Caleb, to the armor bearer, the people that hold his weapons as one man. He said a very unbelievable command that he never gave before in his life. Shalof Charbcha. Shalof, as the Mesudas Sion translates, Hotzas Acher, take out your sword. V'dagreini ba, and I want you to stab me. I want you to kill me. Why? Pen yavo harelim ho'ele. Maybe these uncircumcised ones, these terrible people, the Plishtim, will come and take me. Udkaruni, and they will stab me. Vis alubi, it's Mesudas Sion translates, Inyan log sechok v'zoyom. It's not only that I'm going to die, but they're going to humiliate me, they're going to embarrass me, they'll laugh and scoff at me. Velo ava nosi kelov ki yari ma'od. However, the Pasuk says, Velo ava, which Mesudas Sion says, lo ratza, that he did not want this person who was holding his weapons to do as he was instructed by his king. Ki yari ma'od, he was very scared that the king is telling me to kill him. I cannot bring myself to do such a thing. Vayikach Shaul asacherev, vayipol aleha. Since Shaul realized that no one else was willing to take his life, then Shaul decided to do so on his own.
Is there any midrash that tells who this Nosei Caleb was? Because he seems to be such an unusual person, and they don't name or anything?
I didn't see it. It doesn't mean there isn't. Okay.
Could Italian look be sexual as well?
What's that? Hital?
Because he's saying Aveli.
It sounds just the guy.
It is possible. It is possible. Maybe. What do you say? Because it's he calls him Arelim also.
Yes, he
could be. It's possible. I mean, certainly.
You mentioned before, you know, the uncircumcised ones.
He was right. They were described as such before not necessarily as a threat, but certainly.
What does it mean?
Hitalu, yeah, maybe. I mean, again, Masuda Sion just says these different languages of laughing at me, humiliating me, which may not be limited to, you know, it could be that it's very possible. All right, so we look at some of these Mefarshim, starting off with the Masudas David on Pasuk Dalin, says, V'yipol leha, which is pretty obvious, but he nonetheless points out, why did he fall upon it? Because how could we even believe this if it wasn't written black and white? That he actually killed himself. Now, if you look at the Radak, you'll see what I did was I made this little strange mark in the middle of the Radak. We're going to see the second half first, and then we'll see the first half when it comes to the next Pasuk. So if you look in the Radak, where it says the last three words of the line, the Luchat Sho'o, Sha'ol did not sin. Do not think that even though he did something which we're all taught is an avera, that one is not allowed to take your own life, he did not sin. Why did he did not sin? So we'll talk about this in greater length when we see the last pages of the Mishpatot Zahav, which we'll see in a few moments. But let's see the Radak first. V'luchat Sho'ol. Why didn't he sin? Bahar Gwatzmo, when he killed himself. B'yafal Pishakosev, even though it says, we just read this in last week's Parsha, Ach, as dimchem l'nashosechem edrosh, that when it comes to your soul, the blood of your soul, I will seek. Which means, kolomer, miyodchem edrosh oso, I will hold you accountable, im tahargu atzmechem, if you kill yourself, which was the instruction that was given to Noah, even though Noah's allowed to eat meat, he's not allowed to kill people, and he's also not allowed to kill himself. And for those that remember on Shabbos, I spoke about the idea how a person, if you'd imagine, based on the words of Reb Adler, walking out of the Teva and seeing complete devastation, it could lead to depression. Which maybe, even though I've never seen the Mefarshim, I just thought about it, maybe the reason why Hashem needs to instruct Noah, particularly at that moment of his life, at the most depressing moment of his life, that he has no right to take his own life. We skip down the next line. Afa Pikin, nonetheless, Luchah. Even though the Pasuk says clearly you're not allowed to commit suicide, Sha'ol, who did exactly that, did nothing wrong. Lefi, Shehar Yoder Sha'ol, because Sha'ol knew. Ki Sofo Ha'ilamos Memelcham. He knew he was going to die at war. Ki Kain Omer Lo Lishmuel, because this is what was said to him by the prophet when he resurrected him. Ve'od Ki Ra, he also saw. Ki Matsu Ha'morim Anashim Akeshes, he saw a whole bunch of archers surrounding him, shooting arrows toward him. There was no way he could possibly escape, even if he wanted to, which he was not going to. Tov haya, it was better. Shiahare kub atzmo, better that he should have himself killed. Lo yishalu bo harelim, as he used this basic language in the pasuk, that these people should not humiliate him. As we've seen in the Medrash, that the interesting word that's added, which I made underlined a little bit darker, ach, as dimchem nashosechem edrosh, which says you're not allowed to commit suicide, but the word ach, but, is an exclusion. Yochel kisha'ol, so the Medrash says, you would think that one could not do so, even if you would fall into the exact same category as Sha'ol Tamlom or Ach, which means that the Medrash is telling us that Sha'ol did absolutely nothing wrong. So according to the opinion of the Radak, the reason why he did nothing wrong is because he knew he was going to die anyway, and it would have been worse for a king to have been captured at that point. Okay, now if we would look toward the end of our packet. you'll see the lot where it says Mishpatzot Zahav, which I underlined a lot of it, and it's very worthwhile seeing it. Okay? So we will try our best to see it, and if we don't finish this week, well, there's always next week, and those donuts won't go stale. All right, let's. If you, we're on. It says on the top right corner, it's Mishpatzot Zahav, Tuf Kuf Tes Zion. I didn't have the heart to read this because there's so much of it. I wanted, if you wanted to look at it, to give you that option. So if you look at the very top, I'm just going to see parts that are underlined, and certainly not more. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, that's what that acronym is. It says, V'chein gadol ha'ma'avid atzma ladas. How terrible it is a person who is ma'avid atzma ladas, which means you take away your life willingly by yourself. V'ones kisha'ol ha'melech ein ma'onim memenu kol davar. However, if it was something which is beyond your control, like Sha'ol, then we're not going to hold back anything. The parentheses say, for example, we will be misasking b'chvodo b'chol davar u'maspidin u'misavlim alav, that we are still going to eulogize you in the same times of shiva will apply, because the more famous halacha which people are familiar with is that when it comes to suicide, we don't necessarily have the same laws of avelos. We don't have the shiva, we don't have a hesped. Obviously it's a tragic thing, but it's not something which a person sits and practices regular mourning for. Even though that is the basic rule, you will be hard pressed to find any posek to ever say that that's the case, because we understand that a person has the ability to do tshuva at the last moment, and therefore even if a person does die, it's understood between the time that they did an act, use your imagination, and the actual death, that period they had charata. They would not have wanted to have done so. They would have wished, if they could turn back time, that they would never have done such a thing. And therefore, it's not that they really died willingly with complete. It's not considered ladas, but rather it's like an illness. That the time that they did it, they really were not in the proper frame of mind. They were sick. Mentally, they had an illness, and therefore they're not held accountable for those actions. And therefore, it's not necessarily hama'avid atzmo das. So you're going to really be hard-pressed to find anyone that says that that person, even though on the death certificate that's what it'll say, but that's not what we will paskin unless it's a very, very unique circumstance. Nonetheless, that's what it's brought down in halacha, that a person who acts similar to Sha'ol, then certainly we're not going to treat that person any differently than any other person that passes away. Shine'enshu al shalo hispidu as Sha'ol, because we see that we did not properly eulogize Sha'ol, and we were punished for that. V'chein mashikosu b'breishis rabba, and also we saw this in the Radak, which is also brought down in the Medrash, the fact that the pasuk adds the word ach shows that even though one cannot commit suicide, but if it's similar to the way Shaul did it, then it's permissible. We're going to have four explanations at the end of the day. What's the significance of what's the difference between Shaul that he was allowed to take his own life? Vihini kasev ha-mechaber. So it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, kedaber borer very clearly, shulhoi l'shul din ma'avid atzmo ladas, Kivan Shahai Ones. He is not considered to be a person who willingly committed suicide because it was an ones, it was completely beyond his control. Skipping a few lines. The Yomer Bebracious Rabbah, and it's brought down in the Medrash, Yochel Afil Kechanani Mishol Vazaria, Tam Lomer Ach. There were these three people by the name of Chanani Mishol Nazaria, which is brought down later on in Navi, that there was a person who was a Rasha, and he wished to be able to test their greatness by putting them similar to what Nimrod did to Avraham, putting him in the Kishon Eish. They put them in a fire. And miraculously, Hanani Mishael Nazariah survived. But there was a tremendous amount of torture also that was involved. And the Talmud wonders whether or not torture has the same laws as murder or suicide. So he says like this: Yochel afil kamo elu. You would think just like these. Shemaser and atzman l'kiddush Hashem. They gave up their life to sanctify God's name. Shelo yochel chavo ba'atzmo. that you would not be allowed to injure yourself. If you're afraid, I cannot pass this test. They were thrown into the fire. They did pass the test, but maybe I cannot pass the test. And they're going to force me, as this king did, to bow down to an idol. So maybe I'd be allowed to take my own life. Tamlomer ach. So it's brought down. Ki b'shas hashmad yochel limsor atzma lemisa v'laharg atzma. At the time of Shmad, a time where there's persecution, that they're forcing Jewish people to be engaged in things which are against the fundamental philosophies of our heritage. At that moment, if we wish, we are halachically allowed to take our own life. V'chein b'sha'ol ben Kish, so too as we find by Sha'ol over here, Shemuel and Naro, that he said, doesn't mention his name, but it's the person who's holding his weapons, Shlav Charbcha, he said, take the sword and kill me. Tamlomer ach, she'im yare adam, if a person is afraid, Shemiyasu bo yisurin kashin, that maybe they're going to place tremendous pain upon me, Yochel lisbol v'lamba b'nesayon, that time you're allowed to give up of your life. So this is one area that's what we'll see in this paragraph, that when it comes to a person who is concerned that they will not pass in the Nisayon, then they're allowed to give up their life, because that's what Shaul is afraid of. They'll torture me and say, don't be a Jew, maybe, and become a Philistine. And at that point he realized that maybe I'm not so strong, right? And I'll end up losing my faith. And it'll end up being a lot worse. So therefore, you're allowed to give up your life at that type of situation.
I read once someplace, yeah, and I don't remember, that during the Shoah, that they had a discussion saying that they were not allowed to commit suicide because they didn't say, if you change your life, we'll save you. They said, we're going to destroy you regardless. It doesn't matter what you do. And in that instance, because it wasn't I don't know what the end result was, that it wasn't the situation where that if you convert, we'll save you. It didn't matter. And so at that point, they said you couldn't.
In the medieval decision, it was Kiddush Hashem to die, for the girls anyway.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that.
I was reading this article. I don't know what was the result. I don't know what what they said. I was just something that.
So let's skip down to the last four lines over here. Okay, it says Od Kos V'Shom. It's also written V'Nira Afilu Nitfas Biat Hagoyim Misyari Shulyanu Oso Ad Shiavod Avodazara. They grab hold of you and they cause problems. They torture you until you finally submit to them and worship idols. Mikomakom Lo Yomus Asatzma. It says you should not, according to this opinion, not give up one's life. The Yisvul Kol Enuyim Lefikocho. You should try to accept all of the pain and difficulty and torture that you can possibly bear. A person who comes out properly with that intention, hopefully you'll have the ability to be saved, that you'll find the inner strength to not break down. And perhaps you'll be able to find the strength to withstand all of the torture. V'afdi amrinon, even though it is said, Ilmole nuni l'chanani mishol v'ezaria kvar poch l'tzalme, it says that if Chanani mishol v'ezaria not were thrown into the fire to be killed, but to have been tortured, then maybe they themselves, as great as they were, would have worshipped an idol. So Tosos over there says, it's not that the person who threw them, who wanted them to worship an idol, that was not really an idol. He says, the Betzelm de Nebuchadnezzar, who's the king of Babel at the time, and also Elu Kabod HaMelech. It wasn't really an idol. However, if you look on the next page, if it would have been an actual idol, then certainly one would be required to not worship that idol. In fact, to be able to withstand the pain of torture. Because we certainly know there's a general principle. And the general principle is when it comes to all mitzvos, we can forsake them in order to preserve life, with the three exceptions of Shvichas Damim, Gilui Raos, and Avodah Zarah. Murdering, as someone says, murder this person or you'll be killed, you're not allowed to kill that person. You have to allow that person to, because you have no other choice, to take your own life. That, not that you'll take your own life, but they'll kill you. Avodah Zarah also. When it comes to idol worship, if someone says, worship this idol or I'll kill you, you cannot worship that idol. However, so the question is, how about by torture? Worship this idol or I'll torture you. So some, according to this thought, maybe that's allowed. You're allowed to worship an idol because torture is just unbearable. So he says, no, that's not true. When it comes to idol worship, you have to accept all of the pain. And it brings down the most famous of stories. It's the first line, the Rabbi Akiva, Hoyusarkin es Bisaro, the Masriko Shil Barzel, that we know the Rabbi Akiva, his flesh was torn by iron combs. The Omer, and he said, Kol Yomai, all my days, Hayim Estayer, Al Pasuk Zeh, Imasi Yavli Yedei Vakimenu. The Pasuk in the Shema says, I love Hashem b'chol nafshecha, with all my soul. And the Talmud says, Afil notas nafshecha, even if I have to give up my life. Rabbi Akiva was always bothered. How can I read this Pasuk with a straight face? After all, it's not true. I'm not really giving up my life. So this is the one time he was able to do so. And therefore, we learn from Rabbi Akiva that when it comes to this ultimatum, a person has to accept the torture and not break down. We're just going to see these last few lines over here. Abul imis yare, if you're afraid, shloyanu oso al yehudim acherim. What happens, not that you yourself may break down, because maybe you'll have the inner strength to endure, but maybe not that only you will die, but you will cause yehudim acherim, other Jewish people, kamen nefashos miYisrael, many Jewish people to die because of your actions, mutar l'harg ba'atzmo. In that case, you are certainly allowed to give up your life. If you are going to end up causing many other people die because of what you're doing, that people will look at me as an example, and, oh, look, if he did it, so I'll do it, or whatever, but they'll end up dying because of it. So it's better that you should give up your life than to cause everyone else to die. And it says over here, Efshir is very interesting. It says, Efshir shadin rodev yeshlo. Maybe you are considered a rodev on yourself. A rodev is if you see someone's chasing after you to kill you, you're allowed to preempt. You're allowed to turn around and kill that person. Right? So in this case, you are a rodev, because you are not really chasing after people, but ultimately, you potentially are going to cause many people to die. So therefore, you are allowed to even kill yourself to prevent that from happening. And he says like this, that's what happened with Shaul. That's one of the reasons why. Shesavar, that he thought, Shim yipol chai biyadam, that if he ends up being in enemy's hands alive, this alubo, the anu also, they're going to end up torturing him. What'll end up happening? My Jewish people are extremely loyal. There's tremendous loyalty among my army. In Mestamba b'nei Yisrael yucholim liros b'lishmo b'tzar samelch. This is what Shaul thought.
They all ran away. Yes.
They ran away, but they're going to think, you know what? This is actually absolutely true, because we're going to see that they're going to even capture his remains after he died. But if he was alive, they would have felt an obligation to have gone back into enemy territory and to be able to rescue me, Shaul. And he knew v'lo yamdu al nashem. He knew that they would not be able to live. After all, the king Shmuel himself said that they would die, that they would lose this war. He realized that if he would be captured, and then his army would come after him, they would die. And what would happen? Many tens of thousands of Jews would end up dying. And therefore he felt, for pikuach nefesh acherim mutar l'chavel b'atzmo, he was allowed to give up his life because he was able to then not be captured alive, and then ultimately end up having many, many more Jews trying to die, trying to save him.
So he is now putting, it's not that he's afraid of death, he's afraid of not being dead, and the fact that he even was not dead, his people tried to save him.
So what does that show about him?
That's
it shows the incredible greatness of what Shaul is. It's unbelievable.
Would if someone, I mean,
Muslim is not a Avodah Zarah. Absolutely.
And is Christianity considered
Avodah
Zarah?
Yes, I think so.
So what, how are the Arusim, how are the Arusim looked upon by the Rebbein?
What's this?
The Arusim. Converters, I mean, they converted, but
yes,
the children were not converts.
You're talking about the conversos.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But they did it in order to preserve. They did it in order to preserve their life, right? To save their lives. They didn't really.
But the Ma'id Ayin is a Avodah Zarah.
So I was thinking about the Avodah Zarah also. You can do it, but you're not doing it in your heart. So you're doing it superficially. Wouldn't that be a way to save? I mean, that's the converso.
But that's exactly what happened.
That's what
that was. In your heart. So wouldn't that be a way that you could preserve your life?
Well, that's how they rationalized it. But there's also the perception of you doing it, you know, and the question is also, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, the question is, does a mitzvah need to be lishma, right? Do you have to do a mitzvah srichas kavana? Do you actually have to have intention to do the mitzvah to fulfill it? If you're half asleep, do you fulfill the mitzvah, right? So when it comes to doing an avera or worshiping an idol, it's also questionable, you know. But certainly it has the perception that you're worshiping an idol. And when it comes to the time of Shema, it's also much different. During that time, even above and beyond the three, any avera that they ask you to commit, you're supposed to give up one's life. Not just the basic three. The basic three is during regular times. When it comes to a time which the whole nation is being persecuted as Jews, then we have to be stronger as much as possible. So, obviously, I mean, there's what to rationalize, and every person is judged accordingly, and certainly that's something which I can do. Let's just see these last paragraphs, and then we are going to stop and have our CM next week. Okay, so anyway, that's another answer of why Shaul is allowed to do this. It's extremely important to understand. V'od, the smaller paragraph, it says, Gam Efshir Mishum Kavod Melech Mashiach Hashem, Shein Roy Shiyamos Biad Harelim. It was not a proper thing for a king to die in this fashion. The Yasubo Misas Inoy Bezoyon, by him being humiliated, being a king, Buchil Hashem Bedasim Nasa, would have been a complete Chil Hashem in everyone's eyes. In the parentheses it says, the Hanuk Shmoshesh Mitzvos Kiddush Hashem, just like when it comes to the opposite. There are certain mitzvos which sanctify God's name that pushes off all these other things of a Chayim Bahem that we want you to preserve life. Mitzvah Limsor Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem. We say we want you should give up your life in order to perform a Kiddush Hashem, and it pushes. That's what a person should do, instead of murder, let's say. So too, when it comes to averos chil Hashem, l'isur ma'abed asmul adas, that a person is allowed to give up their own life in order to not cause a chil Hashem. And that's what it says in the last line of it. It's brought down in the Sefer Chassidim, avol sha'ol mutter shul yischal Hashem shemayim b'Yisrael. It would have been a tremendous disgrace that he would have been tortured and completely humiliated. And the one movie that I can possibly think of at the very end, one of my favorite movies and my mother's favorite movies, Scottish, is Braveheart. And when Wallace was captured, and the princess or queen, whatever she was about to be, gave some medicine to dull the torture, and he said, absolutely not, I want to be in my senses. And that's the idea, that if he would have been completely drugged, he would have been saying things and crying. And it wasn't just that he wouldn't have felt the pain, but all the people around him, all the people that supported him for all those years, would have looked at him and said, ugh. So therefore, this is also the message of Shaul. Od svar matzanu behetu de Shaul. There's one other explanation that why Shaul is allowed to take his own life. Kivan shahaisul nevuah shiyamos b'mechama. He already had a prophecy. He already knew by the prophet Shmuel that he will die at war, as we saw already in the Radak, and also in the Medrash. Vi'af dechizkia hamelach. Even though when it came to Chizkia, when he said to Yeshaya, he said, Kol nevuascha v'tzei, that even though you told me that I will die, I will not have a world to come, I will not have this world or the world to come, doesn't make a difference because there's an expression that I feel cherem chadim unechas al tzavara. Even if you have a sword up against your throat, lo yisvayish min arachmin. You should never lose hope that Hashem will somehow show compassion and mercy to you. Now, even though that is true, that's only in a case where it's only a sword. But if you have a nevuah prophecy saying that that sword is going to end up cutting you and killing you, as is what happened over here by Shaul, he knew 100% he was going to die anyway, and therefore wasn't an issue. And therefore, to sum up, which will be the last thing which we'll see, these three lines, Nimsa, the Dalet Svaros Ika, there's four reasons, Behadishmu Onus Haim, why Shaul did not do anything wrong, was beyond his control, and therefore he was allowed to take his life. Aleph, one reason, Shayor Machmas Hayisurim, he was concerned of all the pain, Shiavru Hal Das, all the pain that was going to be, all the torture that was going to be occurring to him. Never, because of the torture, some say, instead of being tortured, one is allowed to take their own life in the event that you may not be able to withstand such torture. Second, Shayari, he was afraid, Shiyiplu Kama Vakama Nefashis Mishrael, Shiyirtsu Hatsilo, that if I stay alive, I'm going to cause many, many more people to die. And I know this was actually a shaila that was brought down, which is unbelievable shailas during the Shoah. One was that there was a bunch of people that were hiding. And obviously they couldn't make any noise. And what? And there was a baby crying. Whether or not they're allowed to actually take that child's life.
They were.
They did.
Yeah, but that's the idea. This is the same idea.
The baby, because the baby would have given up the...
Right. But this, even though it's hard, this is the same idea, that Shaul was allowed to take his own life in order to preserve more lives. Which again, it's hard to put value on life, but nonetheless, that's what it says. Gimel, Shayarim ibnei Chil Hashem, he was concerned of the Chil Hashem involved in him being humiliated as such as being a king. And finally, Shay Batuach b'misasa b'nevua aydei Shmuel Anavi. He already was told that he was going to die anyway on the battlefield, and therefore, what would end up happening, maybe, that if he was taken and tortured, he would not have fulfilled the nevua of Shmuel, and therefore he had to die on the battlefield, and therefore he felt the only way that could be done is if his person next to him, the Nar, wasn't going to take his life, then he'll have to do it himself. We'll have to stop here, and we'll continue and finish this next week.